I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
I haven't seen the sky so blue.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Thank you and good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you, taking your calls this morning. And we wanted to start off the hour and talk about being water wise and a water wise plant to get us started. Tom, you want to talk about the Merrily Crabapple. What a beautiful blooming tree.
This is a newer tree that's only been out on the market for really 3 or 4 years, at least locally, and is becoming more common, but it is a very useful tree because the crab apples in general are quite water wise to where they may only need to be soaked every couple of weeks once they're established. But it's also a great tree because it stays fairly narrow and smaller, and so it's good for today's smaller yards or as a park strip tree because it won't heave the cement, nor will it cause a mess. It's virtually fruitless, so it's a great tree.
I love the blooms on this tree.
So it blooms in the spring about the same time as other crab apples. And one of the hesitations people that especially grew up with crab apples is that the old-fashioned ones were extremely messy.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd spend late summer and fall cleaning them up, and you'd have bees everywhere, potentially get stung. And a lot of the newer cultivars have smaller fruit, if they have it at all, and it sticks to the tree. And this is one that I wouldn't hesitate putting in my park strip or around a patio just because of the lack of fruit.
Is this one more disease resistant as well?
Well, locally, our apples, besides maybe fire blight, don't get a lot of diseases. You know, there's occasional powdery mildew. But compared to other parts of the country, the crab apples here is less of a concern. And so if it says disease prone, I often don't worry about it because we don't get cedar apple rust and a lot of the other diseases they may get on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Our WaterWise partner is Ivory Homes, our program sponsored this morning by Ivory Homes. Doug Babcock is joining us. And Doug, tell us why it's so important for Ivory Homes to make sure that they are WaterWise when they're putting together their landscapes.
You know, that's a great question. Not only has Ivory been Utah's number one builder for the last 30 plus years, but Utah has been number one in Ivory's eyes for that time as well. They care deeply about the state of Utah, and they go to great lengths to protect the natural resources like water that the state has. We share KSL's passion in truly being good stewards of the state. So Ivory has gone to great lengths to try to establish what we call, we don't call it, but what's called localscaping.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get a little bit nervous when they hear localscape and they think xeriscape and they think rocks and sagebrush, right? But that's not the case at all. The intention is to try to maximize the use of a person's yard And instead of just doing vast troves of grass that requires significant amounts of water, we want to be a little bit more selective on where we place grass. We want to put it right in those areas that are going to be most conducive to kicking a ball or throwing a ball or playing outside. But we also want to use good sense when we design areas for sitting, right? We want to focus on additional areas that'll be shaded, great, beautiful trees, additional color that maybe isn't just green in a yard, but flowers.
Very aesthetically pleasing. We were looking in the webcam last week, and we're just seeing just gorgeous landscape.
Absolutely, absolutely. I actually find that that a yard that's done in that local scape concept is by far more visually appealing than just a few trees and a few bushes and a whole lot of grass. But not just that, again, it's so important that we be good stewards of the state and we make sure that we're not overusing water.
You have an open house that begins at 11. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so at 11 o'clock here in our Juniper Estates community in Harriman, we open up. From this location, we're talking about three different absolutely gorgeous communities that Ivory has in the city. And we'd be more than happy to show you different lots and different options. Homes are going to range from the high 380s all the way up to about 9 or 1.1. We're up in the million-dollar range up in the benches of Harriman. So we really have something for everyone.
And I know that you're following the CDC guidelines to make sure that people are safe.
Absolutely. We are actually doing just a single showing per time. We're asking for showing units of three or less, and then we're making sure to wipe down the model every time after a family leaves to make sure that we, again, are taking care of those people that are choosing to come out.
Okay, 6432 Hollister Way in Harriman. How do people get there?
Yeah, so the easiest way to get there is hop on Bangor and take the 134th South exit, head west until you run to 6400 South, and you'll see our signs.
All right, thanks.
Or 6400 West, excuse me.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Let's take our next caller. We have Joyce in South Salt Lake. Good morning, Joyce. How can we help you this morning?
Just wondering, is it too late to fertilize the burning bush plant?
No, it's just fine. And the reason you would do so is it helps prevent them from just suddenly dying. A lot of times we plant the burning bush and it'll be in for 3 or 4 or 5 years and look beautiful. You'll have a hedge of 8 or 10 of them and all of a sudden one dies in the middle and then one dies on the edge. And they're fairly susceptible to root diseases. And what the fertilizer does is keeps the nutrition up. And I don't know how it induces resistance or keeps the diseases at bay, but if you fertilize with something like Triple 16 in like March and then again sometime in May, then the burning bush are far less likely to just drop dead suddenly.
I tried to find some Triple 16 and called every place here in Salt Lake. Can you suggest? I've been using 11-15-11.
That's absolutely fine. That's great. You know, 16-16-8, 10-10-10, 11-11-11. Something with all three numbers in it at least is just fine.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joyce, for your call this morning. Tom, the next texter is asking, they have clover patches growing in their grass, and it has purple flowers. How do they get rid of that, and what might it be?
Well, it's clover. I don't know what else to really say.
Clover? How do they get rid of it?
Well, a product containing triclopyr, so T-Zone or some brush and stump killers that are registered for lawn use, Turflon ester, but triclopyr, especially in combination with 2,4-D or dicamba, does a pretty good job against it. Now, my caution is a little bit of clover in the lawn isn't hurting anything. You know, it helps the pollinating insects out. Now, unless someone is allergic to bees and you have that life-threatening situation, as long as it's not going out of control, I would consider leaving it. And if you have clover going crazy in your lawn, it's usually a sign that the lawn is desperately short of nitrogen, and so it's creating a situation where the clover can outcompete the lawn.
So anything they can do about the nitrogen part?
Fertilize. You can use organic fertilizers or just standard fertilizers. But if the lawn's fertilized a couple of times a year, that will make the grass a lot more competitive against the clover. And then if the clover did go crazy, then T-Zone or Turflon Extra, Four-Speed XT, or some different products they could use to try to manage it.
All right. Maria and Ton taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Again, this morning we are sponsored by Ivory Homes, the open house at Ivory Homes Harriman location, 6432 Hollister Way, getting underway at 11.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, taking your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. This morning, the program is sponsored by Ivory Homes, where their open house in Harriman gets underway at 11 o'clock, 6432 Hollister Way. Let's go to our caller. Preston is in Bountiful. Good morning, Preston. How can we help you this morning?
Hey, I got a quick question. I have a Virginia creeper on the side of my house that was planted by a former owner, and it has taken over the fence all along the side of my house, and then has grown up into a portion of a tree and along the grass, and it is just a mess. Anyway, I ripped it out, or a good portion of it, a couple days ago, and I just need to get rid of it before it grows back. Is there any great way to do that?
Well, it's going to exact its revenge a little bit because it is quite hard to get rid of. So what I'll have you do is, did you take the stems down to ground level already, or the branches?
I did try to get them. I took them down just above the ground level, and then I painted them orange so I knew exactly where they were.
Okay.
But where you painted them... There's some that are like almost tree branch, like thick.
Yeah. What you're going to have to do is go in and make some fresh cuts an inch or so below where you painted and immediately get some concentrated Roundup, like the 41% or 18%, and then wherever you make a cut, immediately get some of that concentrate and get a paintbrush, like just like a cheap watercolor paintbrush, and dab and paint the top of that stem on every branch coming out of the ground. That will get it started, but the Virginia creeper has a very extensive root system, and as it starts to come back, and if it tries to come back out of the ground, what you're going to do is clip those new suckers and immediately just put a dab of concentrated Roundup on every sucker that you see.
Okay, so it's how long do you think this could go on? I mean, are we talking like another year?
At least this year, and maybe 2 or 3 years, depending on how extensive the root system was.
It's pretty extensive, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to be out there every day for hours, but every couple of weeks or, you know, every 3 weeks, you might have to go out and just do a little bit of cleanup.
Okay. And then as far as, like, and this was just done within a couple of days. Like, I've just done this, like, 2 days ago, but even then, I have to go out and recut them and do everything.
You do. Yeah. Those woody stems seal off, or the Virginia creeper and other trees and shrubs and things will do what's called compartmentalize the wound. And it quickly forms, a form of scar tissue that is sealed off, and it's really hard for anything to penetrate through it. And that's why you need to make a fresh cut so that it doesn't have the opportunity to compartmentalize that wound.
And it's better to paint it than spray it.
You need to paint it with concentrate. Don't get the pre-mixed stuff that's like 0.5%. You want to just get a paintbrush and dab concentrate right on that cut.
Okay. Sounds good. Do you have time for one more question?
Go ahead, Preston.
So I have also a rock bed that was made for a trailer before we came in. And it's really nice, but grass has just come all the way up through it. And I believe there was a net or some kind of ground covering underneath it. Grass has penetrated all the way through that. It's a mess. We'd like to take it back down to the rock bed so it looks nice. Is there any way to get away from get all the grass away? We've tried to do grass killer and pull it, but it just always seems to be coming back.
Well, it's tough because on one hand, you'd say just use a ground sterilant, but do you have any desirable trees and shrubs growing around that pad?
We have a curbing that goes all around the pad, and then there's grass on that around that curbing.
Okay, but there's no trees or shrubs within several feet in any direction?
No.
Okay, you could try a ground sterilant, something just like a Clear All or some of these other ones that'll last for the season, and that will kill the grass for the year. But I caution you that if there are any tree roots underneath it or any shrub roots or desirable plants, those will be damaged or killed too. And so you need to be very careful, but that will clean it up for the entire season.
Okay. And then is there any way to make it so it doesn't come back?
You're talking cement. But you're going to have to do an annual application of something. The things that last for several years are restricted use, and they're too dangerous to use in yards because they spread and everything that goes with them. And I'm even super cautious about the homeowner versions that only last the season.
All right. Tom, let's take our next text question. This person wants an idea of how to store tulip bulbs. They don't want to put them in their refrigerator. They want to take them out of their yard right now, and they don't have a cool basement for them. Do you have any other suggestions for storing tulip bulbs?
Oh, there's always some in-laws or an uncle or an aunt that has storage space.
Mini refrigerators? They don't want to put it in there with
their
food.
There's no reason to refrigerate them. If they just dig them out this fall, when they're done, so it'll be June or early July, and they can dig them up. Mm-hmm. They'll set them in a shaded area that's in the low to mid 70s and just let them, in essence, cure for a week or two. And after they've done that, they can store them in a dry paper bag in the coolest area possible and just replant them in the fall.
Okay, so they don't need to be in a refrigerator.
No, the refrigerator causes what's called a vernalization. And what actually would potentially happen is they would leave them in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 months, and all of a sudden they'd start to grow in December. And so they actually don't want to.
Okay.
They just want someplace around 70, 75 degrees that just dry, and then they can go ahead and replant those in the fall.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news, 801-575-8255, the number to call, or you can text us at 57500. The show this morning, sponsored by Ivory Homes, and they have an open house getting underway at 11 at their Harriman location, 6432 Hollister Way. That's in Harriman.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.